This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Friday, March 1st, 2013. Civil unions supporters in Colorado are entering the home stretch as they move legislation through the State House. As Benta Berkland reports, a bill to allow civil unions cleared the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday with bipartisan support. It's expected to pass the full House by mid-March.
Whether gay and lesbian couples should get the same legal rights as married couples has been a divisive issue in Colorado for several years. But Democratic Speaker of the House, Mark Ferrandino, says that chapter is finally coming to a close.
It's going to be a great experience to be able to sign that bill, and forever my name will be on that bill, but so will my signature. It's very special.
Ferrandino is one of the main sponsors of Senate Bill 11 and the state's first openly gay speaker. Last year, a civil unions measure made it to the House floor, but Republicans in control of that chamber blocked a final vote so it wouldn't pass. The governor then called a special session, but the bill failed once again. Now that Democrats control the legislature, Ferrandino says passage is a top priority.
Civil unions is, from I think the press perspective and the outside perspective, is this, oh, not a big deal, it's going to happen. But really is a big deal. It is a huge deal for families across Colorado.
And many of those families rallied on the west steps of the Capitol before Thursday's hearing.
Family is family.
For Lisa Green and her partner from Colorado Springs, it's the end of a long journey. This is the third year in a row they've testified in support of civil unions. Green says it's a journey no one should ever have to take.
I'm tired. I'm tired of having to beg and plead and grovel for what should be mine in the first place.
Opponents of civil unions argue the measure would undermine the traditional family unit and is a stepping stone to gay marriage. Colorado is one of 30 states with a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage, but many gay activists say they eventually want to push for full marriage equality. And that's the way the national conversation's going. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments on the issue of gay marriage at the end of March. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The Aspen Times reports that hundreds of Carbondale area residents spoke in a unified voice Wednesday night against gas drilling in Thompson Divide. The Pitkin County Commissioners organized a meeting to give residents a chance to speak on efforts by two oil and gas companies to extend their leases in Thompson Divide, 250,000 acres of pristine lands from Sunlight Mountain Resort to McClure Pass. Leases held by SG Interests and Ursa Piance LLC are set to expire in May, but the companies have applied to the Bureau of Land Management to, quote, suspend or cancel the expirations so they can hold the leases longer than the 10-year term. The meeting solidified support for the Thompson Divide Coalition, a nonprofit group fighting to prevent drilling. The coalition last year offered to buy out the gas companies for the amount they publicly had sunk into the leases. The companies haven't responded with counteroffers. Representatives of Carbondale area ranching families spoke against extending the leases and gave simple, direct assessments of what gas drilling in Thompson Divide will bring, citing decades-old scars from well pads and access roads. Many local elected officials, recreational users of Thompson Divide, and representatives of sportsmen's groups and conservationists spoke out against drilling. During the first hour of public comment, no one from the audience spoke in favor of drilling. Others decried the degradation of water and air quality, the increased truck traffic, and other impacts as severe threats to the area. Representatives of SG Interests and Ursa Piance spoke as part of a panel discussion to start the gathering. Don Simpson of Ursa said his company wants to do whatever is necessary to proceed with plans to develop in a, quote, responsible manner. Eric Sanford of SG Interests urged the audience to be objective in its assessment of the drilling plans. His firm's work wouldn't affect 250,000 acres, he said. As many as four wells would be drilled from individual pads, limiting the effects. The company's proposed activity would affect no more than 20,000 acres all of which is outside mapped roadless lands. This according to Sanford. According to the Times, the night was dominated by unified audience sentiment against drilling. The BLM hasn't decided whether to extend the gas leases, which typically expire after 10 years if there has been no development activity. George Newman, chairman of the Pitkin County Commissioners, urged the audience to voice its opinions to the BLM, U.S. Forest Service, and elected officials, saying, quote, the ultimate decision will be made from Washington, D.C. The Durango Herald reports that Democratic state legislators, including Representative Mike McLaughlin of Durango, are being targeted by pro-gun Republicans. A new nonprofit group called Colorado Citizens Protecting Our Constitution took out web ads and a full-page print ad in the February 17th Durango Herald to criticize McLaughlin's votes on four gun bills. Three other Democrats were targeted with nearly identical full-page ads in their hometown newspapers, including Diane Mitch Bush of Steamboat Springs, Tony Exum of Colorado Springs, and Dave Young of Greeley. The Herald says the pro-gun group's funding and leadership is a mystery. It does not appear to be affiliated with an ad hoc group called Colorado Accountability, which announced a recall campaign against McLaughlin on Saturday and warned he would be the first of several legislators to face recall elections because of their votes on gun bills. Colorado Accountability spokesman Anthony Garcia said the group will file a recall petition with the Secretary of State next week. The recall proponents face a difficult task. They will have 60 days from the date they file a petition to get about 10,600 signatures from registered voters in McLaughlin's district, a largely rural and mountainous district that isn't easy to travel even in good weather. According to the Herald, Colorado Accountability also has its eyes on an even bigger target, Senate President John Morse, a Democrat from Colorado Springs. Morse introduced Senate Bill 196 on Wednesday, which cracks down on assault weapons. Morse told reporters this week that people don't have a constitutional right to own dangerous assault weapons. Tim Pollard placed the ads for the group. He is chief operating officer for EIS Solutions, a Grand Junction political advocacy business that often works for the gas and oil industry. EIS's most well-known employee is Josh Penry, a former Senate minority leader and Republican candidate for governor. So far, no Democratic groups appear to be mounting a defense for McLaughlin. And finally this morning, in local high school sports, there's a long-standing tradition of celebrating state champions with a parade through town. On Wednesday, Paonia was honored for earning a second consecutive state title in wrestling. KVNF's Tammy Mack brings us this report.
At the Pepsi Center in Denver last week, Paonia had more wrestlers medal than most teams brought to the tournament. Head coach Andy Pfeiffer worked his way through the list of weight classes Wednesday, surrounded by his team and from atop Paonia's Ladder One fire truck.
Josh Altman, 113-pounder, was third place at state. Jesse Reed, 120-pounder, first place at state, and he's a two-time state champion. Let's give him a big hand for that.
In all, Paonia placed 11 of its 13 state qualifiers in the 2A tournament, but their performance might be better summed up in terms of records. Paonia scored 205.5 points, 57.5 points ahead of second-place Highland. That makes them the third-highest-scoring team in state history. They tied the old record for pins with 25, set last year by Paonia. For the second year in a row, Coach Pfeiffer was named the 2A and overall State Coach of the Year by the Colorado High School Activities Association. He told the crowd that the number of pins puts Paonia among the top 10 teams in the nation. Their 13 qualifiers fell just shy of the state record of 14, a record they set in 2012. Jesse Reed's 7-5 title win over number one seeded Stetson Loader puts him in the record books alongside two other two-time state champions, including Coach Pfeiffer and Reed's dad, and Paonia assistant coach Robert Reed, who won titles for Paonia in 1978 and 79. Among Paonia's placers, Pfeiffer's son, freshman Bo Pfeiffer, had three wins and wrestled just 3 minutes and 30 seconds on his way to the championship round. Pfeiffer finished second. Heavyweight Tony Darling was also runner-up. Paonia will graduate four state qualifiers, including Dylan Stroud, Jorge Quiñones, Tyler Kendall, and Morgan Reeder. With strong peewee and middle school programs going and 15 varsity and junior varsity wrestlers expected to return, Pfeiffer sees another good season next year. But wrestlers know that only hard work will get them there. Sophomore Zach Milner describes the effort it takes just to get to the Pepsi Center.
It's crazy. I mean, you come in the mornings and run. You just have to push yourself as hard as you can go and then some, puking your guts out after you're running just to get to go over the hill. And then after that, blood, sweat, and tears. You know, you just have to get in the best shape you'll ever be in your life and then try to push yourself even farther.
And is it worth it? Milner, whose dad Mark is an assistant coach and state champion from Paonia, sums it up this way.
Oh, amazing. It was pretty cool. Wrestling down on the floor of the Pepsi Center was awesome. It was just a crazy atmosphere. And going down on the Saturday night and getting the big trophy was just awesome. So it was a great experience.
Hotchkiss qualified 7 for state and came home with 2 second-place medals. At 138 pounds, Jesse Head pinned his way to the finals, upsetting defending state champion Jared Maestas in the quarterfinals and the number 4 seed in the semifinals. Joe Boyle was seeded 2nd and faced number 1 Jason Burr in the finals. Hotchkiss placed 10th overall in 3A competition. Montrose heavyweight Jesus Casillas finished 5th. Olathe brought home 2 medals. Olathe senior Jacob Solseth was runner-up after falling to top-ranked Joshua Miller of Bennett. Solseth finishes the season with a 30-5 record. And senior Trey Sickles of Nucla, who claimed a state title in 2011, wrapped up an impressive career with a second-place finish and a 36-7 record. In hoops action, the 2A District 5 tournament begins this afternoon at Paonia High School. The Paonia Lady Eagles are seeded 1st. Paonia faces number 4 Rangeley at 6 p.m. tonight. The Hotchkiss girls are seeded 3rd and face number 2 Meeker at 3 p.m. The Montrose and Delta girls made the top 32 teams in the 4A state bracket. Delta travels to Pueblo to face 15-9 Longmont, and Montrose faces 14-10 Pueblo East. Both games are at 5:30 today. The winners advance to Saturday's Sweet 16 round. In first-round boys action, number 4 Paonia surprised number 5 Hotchkiss in Tuesday night's pigtail game with an overwhelming 83-47 win. Paonia will face number 1 Hayden tonight at 7:30. All 3 North Fork teams will compete at next week's regionals tournament, with seeding to be determined this weekend. Check Max Preps for Saturday's pairings. For KBNF News, this is Tammy Meck with your sports report.
Congratulations to Paonia and all of our student athletes up and down the Western Slope for their dedication and commitment to excellence. This concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.